Hallelujah. Welcome. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to a place where we gather in His name to worship Him. Amen. Welcome to all of you. And we say to those who are watching online, welcome, welcome. What does that mean? That means we have a place in our heart for each one. And today we're going to connect with one another as we come before His presence and rejoice before Him. I want to read Psalm 100. It says, lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord, and go ahead, do it. Everyone, everywhere. Yeah, go ahead. It says, go ahead. There's such a sense of the word welcoming us freely to worship Him, to exalt Him. And in that is a welcome, and in that is a charge also. Lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead, do it. Everyone, everywhere. As you serve Him, be glad and worship Him. Sing your way into His presence with joy. And realize what this really means. It means that we have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for He is our Creator. We belong to Him. We are the people of His pleasure. You can pass through His open gates with the password of praise. Come right into His presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to Him and affectionately bless His beautiful name. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He is so loving it will amaze you, and so kind it will astound you. And He is famous for His faithfulness towards all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for He keeps His promises to every generation. There's such a sense in this psalm that calls us to the place to come before Him. And it says, recognize what this means. That means the Lord has made a way that we can do that. It's not hard to find Him. It's not hard to get into His presence. The way is welcome to us, and we are encouraged to come. It says our password, of course, is praise. How could you go into His presence in any other way but exalting and worshiping Him? I just can't imagine being before the Lord with anything else but just a heart that just wants to exalt Him and shout and praise Him, but especially knowing that I'm welcome in His presence. You're welcome in His presence. It says we have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, and it says He is our Creator and we belong to Him. I love that the word says that He created us. We are His people, sheep of His pasture. In other words, we don't make ourselves what we are. We yield to Him and let Him keep forming us. And today, just like all days, is another opportunity for Him to perfect us, for Him to make us and mold us fully into His image, to let the fullness of Christ be established in us. What a wonderful thing. I just want to encourage you. Listen as the word goes forth. Listen as the Spirit moves, and let your hearts be touched. Let your hearts be formed. Let your hearts be drawn closer to that place of being, it says in the word, of being perfected. We are being perfected in Him. We are being made complete in Him. We're already positioned that way, and He's making us fit the position that He's made for us and called us to. But it begins by that place of entering into His presence with praise, with worship. It says, lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead, do it. Everyone, everywhere, lift up a shout. Lift up a shout. That means a lot of noise coming out of our mouths. Hallelujah. A lot of noise. Come here. Hey. John, do you know how to shout? How to shout? Woo! Hey, yeah. Hey, a shout. A lot of noise. We're going to be noisy today as we worship Him and exalt His name. Lord, we come before Your presence with a heart of praise, with a heart of thanksgiving. We are grateful that You invite us into Your presence. You even exhort us. You even give us a command. Come, come, come into Your very presence where You've made a place for us. We thank You, Lord, that You are good. You are worthy of all our praise, our exaltation. So may everything that takes place today, may our hearts, what's inside of us, what goes on inside us, be something that You recognize as attributed to You, that we are yielded to You, spirit, soul, and body. We are fully yielded to You, and we are fully set to worship and exalt Your name. Be exalted today, Lord. Be exalted.
Yes.
Proclaim that You are God, and we
There is no one like you. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you. We lift you up higher and higher. We show this one your holy choir. We proclaim that you are God. Shout as one, your holy choir. We proclaim that you are God. We lift you up higher and higher. We shout as one, your holy choir. We proclaim that you are God. And we proclaim that you are God. We proclaim. You. We give ourselves to you, Lord. We give ourselves to you fully. You deserve nothing less, and you will take nothing less. Thank you, Lord.
I don't want an ordinary life. No, I won't stand by the side. Waking up my soul, and it's a burning fire, burning out of control. And I'm coming in close, closer than before, to hear your voice. I want to know you more, to know you more. So be a fire in my bones. Be a fire in my bones. Be a fire in my bones, ready to break out. Be a fire in my bones. Be a fire in my bones. Be a fire in my bones, ready to break out. Jesus, come and fill me now. Truth is burning in my bones. Have your word resurrect my soul. And I'm coming in close, closer than before, to hear your voice. I want to know you more.
Spirit.
you've been calling me to burn for you. You keep calling me deeper, and you keep calling me higher. You keep calling me to burn, to burn, to burn, to burn. You keep calling me deeper, and you keep calling me higher, and you keep calling me to burn for you. I've been holding you back for too long, and I'm ready to break out. I've been holding you back for too long, and I'm ready to break out. I've been holding you back for too long, and I'm ready to break out. I've been holding you back for too long, and I'm ready to break out.
I've called you to step into me where there's the spectacular and the supernatural and the miraculous. I've called you to step into the dimension and realm that belongs to me and doesn't belong to this earth. For you are bringing into this earth what is of me, what is of the heavenly, what it is of the spectacular and the glorious and the majestic and the beautiful and the powerful and the mighty and the clean and the good. Yes, I've called you to not an ordinary life. I've called you to something new. So as you declare this from your heart, as you say, I don't want that ordinary life, I hear what you're saying, and I'm taking you into me. Hallelujah.
Closer than before to hear your voice. I want to know you more, to know you more. So be a fire in my bones, be a fire in my bones, be a fire in my bones, breaking up. Breaking up. and you are calling me higher, and you are calling me to burn for you. You are calling me deeper, and you are calling me higher, and you are calling me to burn for you. For deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep. Jesus, the name above all names, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. All-powerful God, all-powerful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The atmosphere is changing, and nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of your name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. The atmosphere is changing, nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of your name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Speak the name above all other names. Speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of heaven's coming down, fill the earth with the sound. Gather all who wander, hostages of shame. Miracles unfolding at the mention of your name. Our darkness is fleeing, mercy mercy raining down, healing waters flowing as our lips make the sound. Raise it up, fill the sky. Chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Speak the name, the name above all other names. We speak the name, the name the wind, the waves obey. All of heaven's coming down, fill the earth with the sound of the name of Jesus. We speak I am forgiven, and fear has to leave. Strongholds are broken, I've been made free. I am forgiven, fear has to leave. Your name is healing, your name is power, your name is holy, my strong, strong tower. Your name is healing, your name is power, your name is holy, my strong, strong tower. Wonderful name, glory. we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. 'Cause you're wonderful, beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way.
Who is like you, God? Who is like you, Lord? Your majesty.
fullness of who you are. Your fullness, Jesus. Just one touch sends us to our knees. What about your fullness? What about your fullness, Jesus? Just one glimpse leaves us undone. What about your fullness? 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 Show us your power. Show us your glory. Show us the fullness of who you are. Holy God. Show us your beauty. Show us your majesty. Show us the fullness of who you are. Oh God. And show the fullness of who you are.
lift your hands right now. And release the power. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So whatever it is that you're standing in faith, speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus. Whatever sickness or disease or illness, speak the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus. Speak to your body and say, be healed, body, in the name of Jesus. Whatever your circumstance or your situation is, speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus. Be moved and cast in the sea. Whatever that financial struggle is, speak to that situation and say, Jesus meets all my needs in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's begin to declare the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Just begin to feel his presence. Begin to experience his presence deep. Holy Spirit on the inside of you, calling to the deep. Fill us with your fullness now this morning. Your power, your majesty, your glory. Just release it right now in your church, in your body. We thank you right now that we, the body of Jesus, the ecclesia, are experiencing the fullness, that we're going from glory to glory. So we thank you, Father, that we're experiencing measures of glory this morning. And we thank you for filling us up with a fresh measure, a fresh touch of heaven this morning. Just feel that fresh touch coming as you say the name of Jesus. Let's say that together. Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I am being filled into his likeness. I am being changed from glory to glory and faith to faith. I'm receiving the fullness. I'm receiving the fullness of Jesus. I receive now in Jesus' name. Just lift your hands and thank him this morning. He's doing something. He's doing something in the midst of his church this morning. He's touching bodies. He's setting the captives free. He's setting fullness, fullness. Your presence, Lord, in your presence is fullness. So we welcome the fullness of your presence. We welcome, Holy Spirit, come in the fullness and the power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fullness. Woo, fullness. Ha, 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 ha. Woo. In the name. In the name. Let's say that again. In the name. In the name of Jesus. All fear must go. Peace come. Joy come. Joy unspeakable. Father, I release joy unspeakable and full of glory this morning. Woo. Learn to laugh at the devil. He's a loser. He's under your feet. He hates when you know, just like you don't like to be made fun of, he doesn't like to be made fun of. Amen. Amen. Raise your hands one more time. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Joy unspeakable is filling our hearts right now. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of Father, I speak peace over each and every one right now. The peace that passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Great job, worship team. Great job, Anna and Amy. It really is about growing into His fullness. Doesn't matter where you are, we're growing into His fullness. Amen? And so there's just so much, you know, when we get into worship and hallelujah. Well, let me just ask a question. When I give testimony to Jesus, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so, you know, we had a great time last week. Robert Heidler texted me in the middle of the week and said that they had a great trip home, but Monday, all of his symptoms left. And he says, my electrolytes are back to normal. He said that. And I just appreciate it. Just a testimony of persevering and pressing in. He could have backed down and canceled, but he came through and he pressed through and he told you what he, man, it encouraged me to keep pressing on. In fact, we're going to talk about pressing on and pressing into Him this morning. It takes perseverance and faith. You know, if you don't like where you're at, you get a choice. You can stay where you're at or you can press on. So we're going to talk about that this morning, but just a lot of things going on. You know that, a lot of things going on in the world, and I want to talk about, and I've been encouraging numerous people this week, and so you'll hear it in the message, but make sure you, we're in a war, make sure you keep the battle on the outside.
Yes.
What do I mean by that? Once you let it on the inside of you, it's harder to get it out. So if you got free this past week or you got touched in that, keep it outside, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought must come in under the obedience and submission to Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that this morning. There's two things that, you know, I weigh if I'm in right standing with the Lord. And that's joy and peace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you're losing your peace or your joy, it's an indication you better get back into the presence of God. Because in His presence is fullness of joy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And the peace that passes all understanding. It's what's happening on the inside of you, not what's going on out here. And we'll talk about that because Scripture is very clear about that. So we'll talk about that this morning. We just want to let you know as we press in and before we release the children and children's ministry, and we just appreciate what they're doing down there. I go down and hear at the end, I think, wow, they're on the same page as we are. And I know it's Holy Spirit, and so we appreciate Chase and her team and pressing in, hearing God. Pray for them, you know, they're always out there ministering and not always in the service. And so they don't always get the full message. They have to go online. I appreciate they do press that, but we're going to pray over them. Just let you know that we do have all the messages online from last weekend. How many of you received ministry and felt something change on the inside of you last week? How many weren't sure? How many, just something, you want more? If you got touched, all your hands should go up. We want more. It was good last week, but now we're moving into this week and we want more. Amen? So you can give online. You can give with the envelopes. There's a lot of ways of giving. We just leave that up to you. So we thank you for your giving. Thank you for blessing the Heidlers. We were able to sow into their ministry and send them back blessed and refreshed. So thank you for your giving. We sowed into that ministry of deliverance. And Prophet Chuck Pierce said that we would be a house of deliverance. And in a few minutes, I'll just remind you of the word that Linda Heidler gave us, Prophet Susie printed it out, so we have it for all of you, but we'll speak that word if you weren't here, because we're declaring that word. It's who we are, where we're going, and so we all, maybe I just read it before we dismiss Chase, because I appreciated Chase's word last week, too. Wow, that was right on, Chase. Thank you for your obedience. This is what Linda Heidler shared in her ministry time last Saturday. You can get all the messages on the line except for this one that she did on Sunday or Saturday afternoon. But this is what she said. I heard the Lord begin to speak to me for this church. The Lord says that I will use you like I used Calvary Chapel during the Jesus movement. How many saw Jesus Revolution? So that's what he's talking about. If you didn't see Jesus Revolution, you probably pick it off somewhere now. It's been out a while. But Jesus Revolution was the Jesus movement back in the late 60s, early 70s. And so she's prophesying that I'm going to use you like Calvary and Chuck Smith was used in Jesus Revolution. So I heard the Lord begin to speak to me for this church. The Lord says that I will use you like I used Calvary Chapel during the Jesus movement. To some people, it will appear scandalous what I do with you, just as it did in the Jesus movement. I will bring people in. They will not be cleaned up yet. They will not have any concept of sin, but they will be drawn to the Lord and drawn to the love of God. Just as in the Jesus movement, they came in and they didn't look right, they didn't smell right, they didn't act right. They didn't immediately change their lives. If you will give them time and space for Holy Spirit to draw them into who I am calling them to be, I can transform this city, I can transform this neighborhood, I can transform a generation. Yeah. But understand that Jesus was criticized because he associated with sinners, with drunkards, with prostitutes. He was criticized and rejected, and many would not walk with him because of that. In the Jesus movement, many would not walk with Chuck Smith anymore because he received the harvest God was bringing in. The Lord says it will, if you will see them the way the Father saw the prodigal son, they have been with the pigs and they are pretty beaten up. If you will embrace them and bring them in, I can restore their lives. I can bring revival to a lost generation. The Lord says just what this song was saying, and we sang this, shake up all tradition, get rid of all my religion, and do whatever you want to do. And so that's what our call is we're going to be a house of deliverance, but also Dr. Jonathan David prophesied to us as a church when we were in Malaysia one time that we would be a house of refuge, and Detroit would be known as a city of refuge, not in the natural refuge, but a spiritual refuge. People are going to come in and encounter Jesus, just the presence of God and worship. They're going to be changed. They don't understand what's happening to them, but they're hungry, they're searching for truth. So Father, as we pray over the children and the children's ministry, we thank you that you have called us to be a house of refuge. You have called us to be a house of deliverance. And so we thank you, Father, that you are raising up to a new place corporately. That, Father, we take our place just as, Father, many took their place last weekend and when the Heidlers were here. And we receive the word spoken over of this house. And we thank you that we receive that word. And we thank you that we each individually and corporately rise up to a new place. And we say, yes, Lord, let it be done here. Father, we see the harvest coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're coming in not how we see them with our natural eyes, but they're coming in how you see them. They're coming in and they're being touched by the love and the power of God and the power of Holy Spirit. So we thank you. We open our doors as the Father opened his heart, as he kept looking and he saw the prodigal come to his senses. And so we thank you, the prodigals, and not only the prodigals, but their sinners are coming to their senses and they're crying out for what is this all about? And Father, they're searching, and so we call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we say, Father, we receive them with open arms. We thank you that you're bringing in children, you're bringing in the youth, that Father, the youth ministry, Chase and her team right now, our Father, developing, Father, those at a young age that experience the presence of God and have a hunger for the Word of God. So we thank you that children children and the father and youth right now are crying out for reality. And we thank you that Jesus is the reality they're crying out for. And so, Father, we welcome them right now. We see them coming from afar as the Father saw them. And we open our arms. And Father, we thank you as they come in. We thank you they'll experience the love of Jesus that's being shed abroad in each one of our hearts by Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for blessing the children's ministry. Bless Chase, Father, and her team, Father, Chelsea and Lola, Father, and Josh, and others that, Father, you're using, Joanne. And Father, we thank you that they're getting more than just physical food, but Father, there's a download of spiritual food. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God and the presence of Holy Spirit that saturates them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. They can be dismissed, but I also want to pray. Jeremiah, you want to come up? Jeremiah's with us, Jeremiah Powell. You know, this is Dick and Janice's grandson. Jeremiah, he's been with us, was raised in the church. You might not recognize him, but we'll push back. But Jeremiah's been on a journey, and Jeremiah informed me last week that he's joining the Marines. And he's going into boot camp. Of course, I said, you know that all this is gone, don't you? And he says, yeah. So he's ready for transformation. I believe you're in the right place. And he was raised here, and I think Josh knew him from young, coming in, visiting, others known him. And so we're going to send him to boot camp, and it's going to be boot camp, but we want to send him to God's boot camp. And he's going to encounter God in a fresh and new way. All that was sown in him when he came and was in children's ministry, super church, and all that, it's going to come alive. And I'm going to just pray over him and release him right now to this boot camp. But he's going to have some friends. You're going to encounter some guys. You're going to know by the Spirit. They're going to be a different set of guys, and you're going to know their hearts, and he's going to connect you with some great people that will become your friends and friends for life. So, Father, stretch your hands. Father, we thank you right now that Jeremiah, Father, is moving and accepting this call, this boot camp, Father. But, Father, it's more than a boot camp in the natural. It's more than about the Marines. We thank you that there's a boot camp in the Spirit. And so, Father, as we send Jeremiah, we say, give him strength right now to endure. Let him see, Father, beyond, Father, all the training. Let him know in his heart, Father, that this is where you got him for this time, that what you're developing and putting on the inside of him, that, Father, it's going to carry him the rest of his life. We thank you. There's some discipline. There's character. There's some things you're building on the inside of him that, Father, we thank you. You'll build the outside man, but you're building the inside man. And we thank you that we surround him right now with your protection. We thank you that you bring, Father, others that are coming for the same reason, the reason, Father, to fulfill their assignment and to understand what their assignment is and what life is all about. So connect Jeremiah with the right men, Father, in this company right now in the name of Jesus. Together they can persevere, encourage each other, and be accountable one to another. So we thank you for Jeremiah right now, that his Father, the body, is his home base here, Father. We send him right now, and we thank you wherever you send him, that you'll surround him with your presence and your protection. We thank you for a hunger for your word and encounters right now from the very beginning on his trip, Father, to the base where he's going to do the boot camp. We thank you that he begins to encounter you right now and begins to understand the bigger picture of his life. And we just love you. We love Jeremiah, Father. And Father, we thank you. We send him right now in the power of your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proud of you. Hey. Ooh. Look out. Look out. We're going to take a minute, and we really do need to pray for Israel. And people want to know where we stand in Israel. Well, we stand with what God's word says. And before the Jewish nation, God promised Abraham. And he promised Abraham everywhere that he lifted up his eyes, all that land he would possess. Not only that he would have, he said, look at the stars and I'm going to multiply and give you the nations. But he gave him a land, and there's a border of that land in Genesis chapter 17 and throughout Genesis. And the border is the nation of Israel as we know it right now. And so our stand is, it says to pray for Jerusalem. And we know that Jerusalem has a heart. Is in God's heart. We know that he's still doing something. He's not through with the people of the Jewish nation, the Israelites, but something about land. And our stand is anybody that wants to annihilate another people, and you have to know the charter of Hamas, the charter of Hamas is out there for everyone to see. They want to eliminate and wipe off the people of Israel, but the nation of Israel. And we know that heaven and earth is God's and everything in it. So God created the world, and he covenanted with Abraham and gave that land to Abraham and to his seed. And so who's going to take it away? God declared it's theirs. And so God is demonstrating, showed himself. We're going to pray for the peace for Jerusalem, and pray in for God's protection, not only over the Israelites, but all the innocent Palestinians that are there. But don't you ever think that the Hamas, what their strategy is, it's to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And it's not only Hamas, but it's every terrorist group there in the Middle East. That's their common goal right now. And so what's stirring right now, I believe, is God moving. It's evidence that God is watching over his word. And it's also evidence of God's judgment that he's pouring out. And so we got to be pressing in, praying. Don't be taking all the news reports. Don't, you know, if you're believing the news, what about that hospital? If you followed through and followed all the things about it, it was a missile that went awry, but it came from Hamas. If you're following a new evidence, and it's that the tunnels that where they're hiding, their high officials are under the hospital, the main hospital in Gaza. So make sure you're getting your reports right. Don't be listening just to CNN or ABC News or even Fox News. There's some reliable news agencies that are checking this out, and Israel's doing everything to give the people of Palestine the opportunity to move out. They send flyers, they send out information sirens, they give out kinds of warnings for them to move out of the way, but they're targeting key facilities. And Israel said that they will not stop until Hamas is destroyed. And so we need to just be praying and take sides with God and what he's saying. So we're going to pray and just lift up Israel right now, this conflict. Pray for those that are making decisions. And pray right now, because as it escalates, the world opinion is going to change. It's already changing. In this nation, it's horrific what's going on our campuses, standing behind and asking for a two-state nation. If you're believing that, get rid of it. God's not going to divide Israel. He's not going to divide Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of his heart. So God's doing something. He promised Abraham and his seed, Israel and the land, the boundaries. And so no one can change that. No man can change it. United Nations. And United Nations, their Security Council is going to meet this week. And they've already changed their opinion on this and are backing down and trying to warn Israel about going in and doing what they said they're going to do. So just let you know, we're standing with Israel. We're praying with them. I don't understand all that, but God, there's nothing that happens that God doesn't know about. He knows about everything that's taken place. He knows everything, and there's nothing that takes place that he doesn't know about. He is sovereign. And so we have to trust his sovereignty, and in trusting his sovereignty, we can trust his word. And his word, read his word in Genesis when he gave Abraham the promise that all that your eyes see, as far as your eyes can see, the land, the boundaries from the Euphrates River to the Red Sea are all marked out by God and his promise to Abraham. So Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we feel the weightiness. And Father, we thank you that your word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we pray for Jerusalem this morning. Father, we thank you that Jerusalem's at the center of your heart, but so is the nation of Israel. And we thank you that you gave the boundaries and the land as a promise to Abraham and to his seed. And so we thank you, Father, that as that Israel was proclaimed a nation in 1948, we thank you we started to see the fulfillment of prophecy. And now, Father, we thank you that it can't be divided. We thank you, Father, that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of that region, but it only comes when the Prince of Peace manifests. So Jesus manifests right now in the hearts, not only of the Israeli people, open their eyes that they would see Jesus as the true Messiah, that he's already come, but he's coming back as King of Kings. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He came back, Father, as a lamb and brought salvation, but he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we thank you. Open the eyes of every Israeli person right now, but open the eyes of every Palestinian and every Muslim. Let them have encounters right now, dreams and visions right now, that Jesus, Father, is the true and real Messiah, that there's only one way and one truth, and that's Jesus. So we thank you right now. The war on the earth is just a Father exemplifying the war that's going on in the heavens between the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness. And we thank you, just as the Prince of Persia, Father, was over that area, that same area during Daniel's time. We thank you that when Daniel prayed, so when we pray, we also know, Father, you hear the prayers of your people and you release your ministering angels. We thank you that we declare Jesus as the captain of the Lord of hosts. He's Lord Sabaoth. And we thank you for your warring angel Michael, Archangel Michael. And we thank you for his armies right now, so greater than the armies that are on the earth, on the land, that are moving in the Gaza, are the armies that are surrounding, Father, your people in a hedge of protection. So we pray a hedge of protection as we pray and release peace, Father, through the Prince of Peace, Jesus, over that region right now. And Father, move in this United Nations Security Council gathering, Father. Open the eyes of those as they come in, Father, with just reveal, Father, the hearts of nations right now. That there's, Father, a dividing of nations. Sheep and goat nations are making decisions. And so right now, Father, open the eyes of the heart of nations, that they'll not compromise. Those leaders that sit at that United Nations Security Council, reveal, Father, the intentions of their hearts, the motives of their heart. Anybody else have something to pray here? If you, just pray.
Father, we just ask you to set boundaries on how far this war can go, Lord.
Yes.
That man will not be able to extend it for their political purposes,
yes.
Lord, or even for hatred of heart, Lord, but that you would set boundaries, Lord God, that would not draw other nations into this, that
yes.
it would not escalate beyond what is happening, Father. So we thank you, Lord, and we look to you, and we
yeah.
speak your governing word over this conflict,
yeah.
Lord God, and we say that this conflict will not be allowed to be extended and become World War III, as the news agencies keep prophesying and prophesying, but we say that we prophesy the word of the Lord. We say the word of the Lord. We declare the
yes.
word of the Lord, and World War III is not for this time, so Lord, we ask you to set the boundaries,
yeah.
and Lord, enforce those boundaries by the angelic host and your Lord Sabaoth, who is over the area.
Yes.
Father, our eyes are up on you. We believe you.
Mm. And Father, we take authority here in our own nation. We pray for the university and college campuses right now. We pray revival breakout in the midst of that, in the midst of the demonstrations right now. Young people, Father, the voice of the believers will rise up and declare. We pray right now, Father, that revival will break out. Not only on the campuses, but we bind the sleeper cells, Father, from being activated, Father, in this nation that's been planted. We thank you for exposing those right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now for protection upon the law enforcement in the name of Jesus. And we shut down the spirit of murder, Father, that's just being released across this nation in the name of Jesus. We release the spirit of hatred and violence. In the name of, we bind it in the name of Jesus, and we release right now a peace around our nation, around our city right now. The tension, Father, in our region right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for peaceful demonstrations. We bind disruptions. We bind those from coming into the area to bring, Father, a stirring, and Father, releasing hatred in the name of Jesus, and we release a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind over this region right now. Thank you for a hedge of protection. We declare it right now over this region that it will not come to Michigan or Detroit in the name of Jesus. Every sleeper cell, Father, must go or be exposed in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare it. We believe it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Well, stir that up. If you're not praying for Israel and keeping up with what's going on, just keep pressing in. But we need to be praying and declaring it. In Jesus' name. Anything? Okay. Real quick.
We declare in the name of Jesus
yes.
Christ that every single educational institution, everyone there, their scales will be removed off their eyes.
Yes.
Their
yes.
hearts will be opened
yes.
to teach the children about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We declare that the word of the Lord
yes.
is restored in this United States
yes,
of America.
Yes.
The word of the Lord
yes.
is restored in every single educational system.
Yes.
And we declare that is there trying to bring about premature death, premature
yes,
illness, premature anything
name.
That is not of Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We say get out
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Something. We switch. Let me say that brings me. We just went through 4 weeks of the biblical citizenship. You need to be in that class, and it doesn't matter that we're 4 weeks in. Every class is different. and we're going to show it again. And the reason you need to believe in it, you need to understand our history. School has wiped out our true history, and you need to know what our Constitution says, what our Declaration of Independence says, that was based on biblical principles. All the laws that were formed and our Constitution was written out of the Bible. And because we're ignorant of the Bible and haven't read the Constitution, we're letting government and we're letting others tell us what it says. And so the reason we're having the biblical citizenship class, you know, this is the second time around, but when I announced it, I thought, well, are we sure? But now in the midst of this, and we'll be having it again in the spring, not just because of what's happening, but because of the elections come, not just because the elections are coming, but you need to know. And it's your right to vote. And if you're not voting, you're missing your right to speak into this nation. And so you need to know, and when we saw the percentages of the people that are determining who gets elected, it was so small that just one shift and voters could shift the whole thing. So we need to know what our rights are. And if you don't know your rights, they'll be taken from you. So the biblical citizenship class is every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we go about an hour and a half. David Barton and Rick Green. Man, every week I come away. I wish I got this in school. I feel like I'm in school, but I'm getting such fast downloads, I can't hold it. So, and this is my second time through it. I just go, whoa. So I'm just going to tell you, you need to be there, not just because of the political atmosphere, but because of the global atmosphere of what's going on. And believe, wow. Well, let's pray over the word. Oh, connecting points, yes. I forget. We're moving into November. that ladies, we won't tell you the number of weeks till Thanksgiving and then Christmas. I heard him already talk about that. But connecting points is this week, this coming Saturday. So ladies, you want to be there. God's doing something powerful with the ladies last week. Christina, last month, Christina stirred it up, the fire of God and the word of God. And you need to know not only Constitution, you need to know the Word. Yes. And so, ladies, you need to gather. You need to just come together. There's synergy in numbers. And so, the ladies, and we're going to announce next week, there's a special thing going to happen in November having to do with a special time for a gathering for... It's in your bulletin, so you can look it out. Okay. It's friends and family Thanksgiving time. So you'll see it in your bulletin. We'll make an official announcement next week. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you're doing. But Father, there's more you want to do. And Father, we know the enemy's strategy is to get us off, our eyes off of, Father, what's really important. And so we thank you, Father, that we keep our eyes on Jesus. We're keeping our eyes on your word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word manifested in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Father, when we're in the word, we're actually experiencing Jesus. So we need encounter after encounter. We sang your fullness. And we thank you that that's Ephesians chapter 4, Lord, that the ultimate goal of Jesus is to bring us into the fullness of Jesus, that we might be transformed into his likeness in every area of our lives. And Father, we thank you that you're pouring out your fullness in the midst of the great shaking that's taken place. We thank you that we're reminded everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And so, Father, it's obvious that shakings are still going on. So there's things that need to be shaken out of us. So that cannot be shaken, which we know is the Word and the Spirit, will not be shaken. So we thank you for your Word this morning. Thank you for watching over it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I heard so much, even in the opening. I wrote a lot of scriptures down on a shout with joy and Psalm 100, but I have all these scriptures. You're going to hear them this morning. So, yeah, that was orchestrated, I believe, by Holy Spirit. So, starting in Philippians chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul writes this, and I'm going to be reading back and forth from the Passion, but also from the New American Standard. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Finally. After all this writing, he says, "Finally." I like what it says in the Passion. It says, "My beloved ones, don't ever limit your joy or fail to rejoice in the wonderful experience of knowing our Lord Jesus." Amen. Did you hear that? Yeah. That's more than just rejoice in the Lord. Don't ever limit your joy or fail to rejoice in the wonderful experience of knowing our Lord Jesus. Now, Paul in this chapter is going to talk about not knowing with your head, but an experience of knowing Jesus. He's not talking about knowing with your head. When he says knowing, it's an experience. He wants to transform you.
Yes, amen.
How many want to know more of Jesus?
Amen.
I mean, the more I know, the more I realize how little I know. The more I get in touch with him, I realize, and you've heard me say this testimony, when I got saved and born again on fire, I was determined in 5 years I was going to exhaust the Bible, but be grown up in full maturity. And after 5 years, I realized I didn't know anything. Because the more you experience Jesus, the more you realize how little you have experienced him. And how much more there is of him to experience. And so if you're having encounters with him, that should be what you're experiencing. I want more. Not I want less or I want to settle. If you got this attitude, you know, I'm just content where I'm at. I guarantee that you're not going to stay in that place. You're going to, what we call, backslide. Because there's no standing still in this. You're either going forward, and Paul's going to talk about this, and I'm trying to just put all this down right now because I got a whole bunch of stuff I wrote down. And if you know, if I write down a whole bunch of stuff, we're in trouble. So he says the first thing, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Don't ever limit your joy or fail to experience him." Proverbs 29:6 says, "The lovers of God escape as they sing and shout in joyous triumph." Escape what? They escape the evils of the world. They escape all that's contrary to God. So you want to escape what's negative and contrary to God. It says, rejoice and shout in triumph joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is a thermometer how you're doing on the inside. Not only the joy, but the peace of God. Proverbs 28:12 says, "The triumph joy of God's lovers releases great glory." You want to release great glory? Release joy. Triumph of joy releases the glory of God. It says in Proverbs, in fact, turn to Proverbs just a page over in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So it means in every situation, in every circumstance, learn to rejoice in the Lord. It says in Romans, it says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." So the kingdom of God is not external. That's what meat and drink is. It's not the natural that's out here. The peace of God and righteousness and joy are what's going on the inside. In fact, it says in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and it says love, peace, and joy. So the barometer to know how you're doing with your relationship is how is your peace and joy doing? And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Shout unto God with a joyous shout. So let's just shout unto God. Yes! Woo! Glorious triumph. So in chapter 4, let's continue here for a minute. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Or don't worry about anything. Remember, humble yourself under mighty hand of God, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your anxieties and worries upon Him. If you're carrying worries, it's going to steal your joy. If you got fear going on the inside, it's going to steal your peace. So he tells us this, he says, in chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, you can't describe this peace. You can't put a definition to it with your mental capacity. You can only experience it on the inside. And the peace of God that passes all comprehension. So no matter, don't try to figure this peace out. This peace isn't something you figure it out. It's a person. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So when you experience in Him, it's going to go beyond your comprehension. Amen. Is that what the Bible says? It says, the peace of God which passes all comprehension, notice what it says, will guard your hearts. Where's the main operation of who you are? It's not your head and it's not out here, your body. The main operation is your spirit man. That's why when you get born again and receive Jesus as Lord of your life, the first thing He comes in is He gives you a new spirit. He awakens your spirit man on the inside, and to make sure that stays clean, He gives you Holy Spirit on the inside of you, so your main operating part of you is not going on out here, it's what's going on in here. And the peace of God that passes all comprehension will keep your heart. You want to keep your heart in this day and this hour? You better make sure you have the Prince of Peace, Jesus, operating on the inside of your heart. He's talking about a peace that's supernatural, not one that's coming out here. Don't look at the world, you know, we used to walk around like this, you know. The hippie generation, peace, you know, peace, brother, peace. Everybody's looking for this natural peace. There's not going to be any peace in the Middle East. Jesus said the only time it's going to happen is when Jesus comes back, and He's coming back and He's setting His foot on Mount Olives where He was left. He's coming back, and that's when the peace is going to come to. That passes all comprehension. He says, and the peace of God which passes all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the peace comes from being in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory up here. But true peace only comes when you're in Christ. You get out of that relationship with Jesus, and I'm telling you, anxiety, weary, and fear. The enemy is out to kill, destroy, and steal, and he does it with anxiety, fear. If you can't listen to the media, what's going on, shut it off. Turn on some worship music. Listen to the Word of God. Do something different. But if you can't handle it, because it's all strategy to steal your peace and your joy. So he goes on to say here in chapter 4, the thing, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Wow, that's powerful. The God of peace will be with you when what? You practice these things. Think on those things that are good. What's good? Think on the Word. Yes. Amen. Get into worship. Fill yourself with those things that God says is good. Amen? I love what it says in Proverbs 4:23. Watch over or guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs or the issues of life. Every issue you have in life springs from the heart. So as the heart is, so are you. If you don't like what's going on the outside, change what's going on the inside. Because transformation always starts on the inside, and it's an outward, inside-out deal. We always want to change the outside. And I'm telling you, it never lasts for very long. Even if you're a person of strong will, you only go so long before you revert back to where you were. But in Christ, amen? So stay strong in the Lord in this day and this hour. Let the peace of God rule you. And I love this. And the peace of God will be with you. Amen? The Passion says of Proverbs 4:23, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they will affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. Boy, what a word. Right now, that's hard to do. There's so much vying for our time. There's so much in the atmosphere. And it's trying to get you out of hearing the voice of God. So, guard your hearts. I love what Jesus said in John 14:27. Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Do I give to you? Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So you're the one that gets to choose what's in your heart. If there's fear, worry, anxiety, you're the one that gets to choose what you're going to do about it. Amen? And so let's learn to guard our hearts. Because out of that flow the issues, every issue of life. That's why the Bible has something to say about every issue. Say, he don't care about this. Yeah, he does. You just haven't found it yet. Amen. It's in the Word. He cares about you more than you care about yourself. And he gives us warning. Guard your heart at all cost. With due diligence. Put a guard over your... you put a guard over your hearts. Everybody's putting a guard. We better put a guard over our hearts, because that's the only thing that's going to make it in this day and this hour. We can't figure out the strategies of how we're going to do all the things we're going to do, but God's already gone and said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. I give unto you. Amen. Okay, let's go back to chapter 3, because now I want to get into Paul. I love what Paul says about peace. In fact, I went through this morning as I got up, and I went through every letter in Paul that Paul wrote in the Bible has a similar exhortation. You know what it is? See, we don't even know our Bibles enough. That Paul, in every letter he wrote, and I'll tell you what he wrote in Romans, because it's in all of his, every one of his books. He starts it off somewhere in the first four verses. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul started that off, and he started every letter off, he starts it off, may the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus, our God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I think it's pretty important. The peace of God, he says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world. You're not going to get peace listening to the media. This week there was so much that happened. If all you listen to the media, man, I'd lock myself in. I'd find a shelter, become a hermit, I'd get on an island. But the problem is you get on an island all by yourself and you're with you. You can't get away from you. And you can't get away from God. The trouble is that if you're a believer, you can't get away from God and you can't get away from yourself. You might as well deal with self. Amen? So let's go back to Philippians chapter 3, because Paul tells us about this. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, to write the same things again is no trouble for me, to me, and it's a safeguard for you. You know, as pastors and people that minister the word, one of the things we think we always got to get is a new word. Something fresh. You know, I taught this. I just said, no, Lord. He says, I don't mind telling you the same things over and over again. Because it's through repetition that we learn. And it's a safeguard for you. It doesn't bother me telling you. If Paul says it doesn't bother me, him telling you the same things over and over. But it's your safeguard that you keep hearing things over and over. There's something about repetition. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So repetition is vital for us. We don't get there automatically hearing it once. So Paul says, the same things again is no trouble. Saying the same things is no trouble to me. And it's a safeguard to you. In verse 2, he says, beware of dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of false circumcision. He's just saying, beware of everything that's contrary to the word of God. There are people that are changing the scripture right now. I'll tell you, I'm hearing things that are happening that are just taking place in churches right now. They're interpreting their own Bible. AI is writing a version of the Bible for you. If you believe AI, it can write anything it wants. So the only thing that is true is His word. So beware of those that are contrary to the word of God. Evil, delusion starts with just a little bit of falsehood. You only need 1% of poison to kill you. You may be 99%, okay. But 1%, so beware. Now I want to drop down because Paul goes through all of his gains and who he is. And none of us would stand up to Paul and be able to debate him. But in verse 7 he says this, but whatever things were gained to me, I want to say that to you and me. We're in a time right now, whatever you know and have been standing on, keep standing in that, but don't stop. Don't rest in the past. God's redefining a whole bunch of stuff. He's getting religion, and I kind of wanted Robert Heiler to deal with the spirit of religion, because the spirit of religion is tradition. And he's breaking down all spirit of religion and tradition. And he's setting up, bring us back to his purpose, which is the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. So here he says, Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me. In other words, Paul could come back and say, I know scripture more than you all. I'm a Pharisee above all Pharisees. I'm at the top of my game. If you go in with that attitude, you're going to miss out what God's doing in this time. Count everything that you've gained up to now as loss. That's going into the fullness. Stay hungry, stay thirsty for the things of God, because He's moving. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And that word knowing there is not an intellectual. That's an experiential. He wants you to have an encounter with the word, not just read the word. He says, I count all these other things as lost except for knowing Christ. And that's the Greek word in there. The English word didn't have a word to explain it, so they put knowing in there. But it's done great harm to the body of Christ, because we think it's just about filling our minds with this word, which is part of it. But he wants you to experience it. So when you experience it, you're becoming more like him.
Yes. Amen.
I'm learning, you know, if I can talk about something, but it hasn't changed me, then all I know is information. But if it's changed me and I talk about it, now I can impart that information. And we're moving in a time, people aren't looking for more information. They're tired of church and tradition and religion.
Yes.
They want the authentic. They want a person that's walking, experiencing this.
Yes.
That's saying, yes, I can do all things through Christ. Who can say, yes, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me.
Yes.
Because he's anointed me.
Yes.
To preach good news to the poor.
Yes.
Yes. I believe the word that says all these things will follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on. The world is waiting for those that lay hands on, that cast out devils.
Yes.
That believe what?
Yes.
Not only believe, but we're experiencing it and imparting it.
Amen.
Amen. It's a lifestyle. It's not just something we put on Sunday mornings. We didn't just get dressed up in it and put on our spiritual suit for Sunday mornings. It's something we live every day.
Yes.
We step out of the house. People say, hey, that person's different. They don't just say, that person's going to church. They connect that maybe that going to church is why they live the way they do. They're not like us.
Amen. Amen.
Are you out there?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. I'm going to get through this. Verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be at loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, of experiencing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them but rubbish so that I might gain Christ. Wow, what a concept, Paul. In verse 9, and be made found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul didn't just say that I might know him, so that I might experience him and also not know and tell you about the resurrection, but that I would be a first fruit of resurrection power. That's what being born again is. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And they're becoming newer.
Amen.
I'm getting born again every day. Every encounter I have is a born again experience. I'm born again. I'm experiencing something I didn't experience yesterday.
Hallelujah.
Something in Jesus I experienced today. So I'm born again.
Amen.
I'm going from glory to glory. If you can't say that, then you're kind of stagnant. Where's your joy? Where's your peace? Are people not acknowledging, hey, there's something different about you in the midst of this? Aren't you worried about World War III? Aren't you worried about it's coming here? No, I'm not worried about it. Are you following me?
Yes.
So, Paul's saying this. He's given us this. It says in the Passion, it says, my passion is to be consumed with him. Is that your passion?
Yes.
This ought to be your number one compassion. Be consumed. Do you know what consume means?
Yes.
That means let the fire from his altar consume that's not him.
Yes. Amen.
It says in Proverbs over and over again in Passion, it says that like silver and gold is refined by fire, so we're refined by the tests and trials of life. That's the suffering that we're to identify with, the tests and trials of this life. So that the fire may burn off all that's not him. Are you following this? It says, my passion. What's your passion? My passion is to be consumed with him and not to cling to my own righteousness based on keeping the written law. My only righteousness will be His based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And I continually long, verse 10 says, to know the wonders of Jesus and to experience the overflowing power of His resurrection working in me. Amen. Did you get this?
Yes.
Is resurrection power working in you? If it's working in you, there should be something happening, something changing on the inside. It's not just a concept that Jesus was raised from the dead, but you went to the cross with Him. You were buried with Him. But when He was raised from the dead, you were raised from dead. And Paul says this, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. I don't want to know about this power. I want to experience it. This week I've had several times, and we're just driving along, and something will happen. She'll say, "What's going on?" And I'm just feeling the presence of God coming out of nowhere. Just hits me. I go, "Woo!" And she's going, "What's happening to you?" You know, "Woo!" Something just came in. It was the presence of God. I want to experience this. I want to experience resurrection power working on the inside of me. And when it works in me, then it can bubble up and touch others.
Yes.
Amen. Paul says that I might know, not understand resurrection and all the Greek terminology and explain it, the definitions, and do all that. And this is resurrection, but I want to experience resurrection power. Because that resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. If you're born again, that resurrection power is already on the inside of you. You're not going to get it. It's already there. But you need to stir it up. You need to experience it. So He gives you a born again experience. Hey, I knew I was changed when I got born again. The way I talked, I get knots in my throat if I start to speak that way. It was like, I start to gag. I couldn't speak it anymore. I knew something. I didn't like doing the same things.
Yes,
something changed because I was experiencing the resurrection power. But it shouldn't stop. We're going from glory to glory, that I might know. And that's what Paul's saying, that I might know Him, that I might keep experiencing Him, that I might keep experiencing His resurrection power.
Yes.
And to do all that, it says, in the sufferings. What are the sufferings? It's whatever we're experiencing on this earth is suffering. These present sufferings don't compare, or these present is it sufferings? Don't compare to the glory that we're going to experience. So you start to experience resurrection power in the midst of the things that you're going through, the fires of God. You know what keeps you going in the midst of the fire? It's knowing Him.
Amen.
Oh. Amen. God's raising up a people that are not only going to be in faith, but they're going to persevere. They're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They're going to let the Lord set a table in the midst of the presence of your enemies. Whoa. I mean, when you're suffering, you know, and things are gone, let the Lord's presence set a table and let the enemy. He's not going to stay there. He doesn't enjoy getting beat up all the time. Instead of Him tormenting us, let's reverse the tables and start tormenting Him. He's under our feet. Let's remind Him that you're under my feet. Amen? Paul says that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. And I continue long to know the wonders of Jesus and to experience the overflowing power of His resurrection working in me. I will be one with Him in His suffering and become like Him in His death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with Him in His resurrection from the realm of death. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing, but I run with passion. This is the word the Lord gave me. It's time for us to press in like you never pressed in before. Not a time just to cruise and think, this is going to go away, all this stuff. We thought that about COVID. I'm just going to cruise. Came out of it a mess and it just increased the pressures of life. We think, well, we'll just wait until this war gets over. No, we're in a war. And it's time we press in to him. Yes. Not just kind of ride the wave and come through. But Paul says, I press. And he kept saying to me, press in right now. Yes. Press into him. Yes. Don't back off in this. Press in.
Yes.
It's not easy pressing, but make a decision. It's an act of your will. It's a choice. Yes, I'm going to press in.
Yes.
How are you going to press in?
Yes.
You're going to hide the word of God in your heart.
Yes.
You're going to... just practice the presence of God.
Yes. Amen.
I love it. I'm praying in tongues, not quite like Paul, but I'm getting better. It seems like all the time. And I say, what am I doing? Oh, I'm praying in tongues. Oh, and I feel the joy of the Lord bubbling up on the inside. And, woo, it just seems to come on. Even at night, I wake up or in the middle of the night. Oh, in my dreams, I'm starting to pray in tongues. Woo! I'm telling you, press in. It's your choice. Paul's talking about a pressing. Paul says, I forget all those other things, the accomplishments and the failures. I want to tell you, some of you can't live in the past because you failed too much. Get over it. But some of you have accomplished great things. Get over that too. And press in. Are you out there? Let God renew your strength so that you might mount up with wings as eagles and you might run and not be weary. I'm telling you, the enemy wants to make you weary of all that's going on. And if you're saying, I just can't wait for this to get over, that's a strategy of the enemy to get you from moving forward. The ones that move forward are the ones that press in that are going to experience the breakthrough. Say, but I don't know what to expect. I don't know neither. But I know the one that does know. And he's living on the inside. And he'll give me strength for today. Tomorrow I wake up and it's a different day. He's going to give me different strength for tomorrow. He's going to give me a different strategy. But I choose to guard my heart. No one else cares about you more than you. Physically. I mean, Jesus cares about you more than you. No one's going to make that choice but you. So Paul's saying, I press. I press. I kept hearing that word this week. How much are you willing to press? Press beyond your successes. Press beyond all that you know. And press into what you don't know. That's scary. But how are we going to experience what God has, his fullness? If we were there, Jesus would have come back. But he's not coming back until there's a people that are operating in this fullness. I like what it says in the last two verses here. It says, whose end is destruction? Let's read verse 18. For many walk, of whom I've told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite or appetites, and whose glory is their own shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of your humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. He's talking about you and I. The power of his resurrection, he wants to manifest in the earth, and all creation is crying out for it. Amen.
Amen.
It says, but verse 20, 9 says, but we are a county of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to the life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our humble bodies and transfigure us into the identical like. Everybody say identical.
Identical.
When Jesus comes back, we're going to look the different on the outward, but we're going to all look the same on the inward. We're going to have the same desires of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's for his fullness. Identical likeness of his glorified body, and using his matchless power, he continually subdues everything to himself. I want to just encourage you again. It says twice, Paul says, I press. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. I press on toward the goal. What is the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ? So that we all might be identical in his likeness, his image, and be filled up with the fullness of God. Woo! And how do I know when I've attained it? Jesus will come back.
Amen.
Amen. And he's not coming back till he sees that on earth. And we preach Ephesians chapter 5. He's coming back for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. That's talking about fullness, one that's identical to him. And character, nature, and it starts on the inside. It starts with the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe peace and joy are the barometer. If you lose your joy or your peace, the way to get back is get back in knowing Jesus. Father, I thank you this morning. I hear that word so clearly, that word press. And Father, you're calling us to press in. Press into Christ Jesus. We thank you the peace that passes all understanding. So all comprehension, Father, there's a peace. And that peace is Jesus. And Father, we thank you that peace is Jesus on the inside of us. The hope of glory, Christ in us. So I thank you this morning, Father, that we once again come to, Father, a time where we get to choose, are we going on from glory to glory? Are we going to experience knowing Jesus in a fresh and new way? Paul says, I count all things but loss. Even the things I've gained, I call on them as loss. Keeping my eyes fixed and moving forward, pressing on to Jesus. So this morning, Father, you're calling us as the body of Christ to rise up and to press in. That you want another encounter of your fullness. You want a transformation of our hearts that, Father, we might be more like Jesus. How we think, how we speak, how we act.
Yes.
We thank you that you're calling us to guard our hearts at all cost. For out of it flow the issues of life. So this morning, Father, I thank you that we get to choose. And once again, we choose. It seems so obvious, but it's more than just choosing a name. It's more than just saying a prayer. It's experiencing, Father, I want to know Jesus. I want to experience him. And I want to experience the power of his resurrection. Let's pray this together. Say, Father, I thank you and praise you. That once again I hear you saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy burdened. And so, Father, we come to you. And we confess Jesus is Lord of our life. Forgive us of any sin. That is contrary to you, Jesus. Any thought, any words I'm speaking, any habits, any lifestyle. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to reveal them to me. And I choose to repent. I thank you, all my sins have been nailed to the cross. I thank you, I died. I was buried with Jesus. And when he was raised from the dead, my new man came out of the grave. I thank you, I received Jesus as Lord of my life. And now I welcome you, Holy Spirit, the gift from Father to me. And you said, if I believe, if I ask, I shall receive. So I ask for a fresh baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. I welcome the fire, the fire of God, to purify anything on the inside of me, any thought, any activity, anything that hinders me from moving forward. And I choose to press forward. So I receive you, Holy Spirit, a fresh baptism of fire and love of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So keep pressing in. These are intense times. But God, he knows. He's the only one that knows where we're going. No one else. No government. No one knows, but he does. Amen. He's on the inside of you, so you can know for your own life. Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
These are exciting days. Say, what's exciting? Jesus. Amen. He's about ready to pour out his power. We haven't seen anything yet. Amen. Let's not get locked into, you know, old familiar ways, but he's doing something new and fresh. Amen. Let's stand and raise your hands. We're going to pray over you. One of the things he's breaking is this tradition, you know. I won't go there, but we're just lift your hands. Father, I declare right now, you heard the confessions, Father, of faith. You heard those receiving Jesus and declaring him as Lord. You heard, Father, the prayers to be filled with the Spirit. Now I'm saying, Father, heal their bodies. We thank you that they begin to experience resurrection power. Right now, as they speak the word, as they declare the name of Jesus, we sang about it. We declared the name of Jesus this morning above every name. And so we thank you for healing right now, healing in bodies. Father, we thank you that you're moving in a sovereign way. And so we thank you that you're touching lives. We thank you that, Father, you're healing mindsets. I bind the spirit of depression and oppression. I bind right now all fear. And Father, I release the peace of God on every heart, into every mind. I release the joy of the Lord to be our strength right now. I release joy, joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I release, Father, the presence and the power of Holy Spirit. Release, Father, a fresh hunger and a thirst upon your people. We choose right now to press in. In Jesus' name. Just thank him right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you. Hallelujah. Thank you.
One of the power, and I won't teach on, I saw it in Philippians chapter 4, was with thanksgiving. With all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. There's something powerful about thanksgiving. We heard quite a testimony. I know Apostle Linda's working on it in her heart. Thanksgiving, there's power. Yes. And as we were talking, I'll just say this. One of the things that my parents taught me was to be thankful for everything. I mean, I thought about this when we were listening. I mean, I go, no matter what,
I thank people. It's just part of my nature. And I think, wow, that's part of who I am. I'm thankful. Thank people. Thank the clerk, the gas station clerk. We thanked the cleaning lady when we were on vacation, and she was cleaning. And I went, and I thanked her, and her countenance changed. It was amazing. She would have waited and come into my room and done it for nothing. And all I told her was, thank you. Her whole face can change. But something about Thanksgiving. So be thankful. Amen. Let's go to power of His mind, strength. Greet two or three people and tell them you love them with the love of Jesus. If you don't know them, if you need prayer, tell someone, hey, could you pray for me? And just begin to pray. Leave your offering in the back box. Okay, or you leave it online.